Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Pistons have a big three-game road trip this week at the Hornets, at the Celtics, at the Hawks. It's big for the Pistons because this is probably going to be their last stretch, at least hopefully, before Reggie Jackson returns. So this is the last chance to grind out some wins. There's a big difference between being around 500 or being well below 500 when Jackson comes back. The Pistons have held their own so far, but this is not an easy stretch to close their Jacksonless run on. The Pistons are 7-2 at home, 1-8 on the road. That is a huge difference, a huge disparity. Obviously, teams are better at home than on the road. They're more comfortable. The other team is less comfortable. It's logical, but this large of a gap is not. This is really rare, and I'm wondering whether there's something to it. The Pistons ought to hope not, and this is the last chance to prove that there's not, that this is early season, small sample size, not much going on, and these are going to be some stiff tests. The Hornets have been solid on both ends, especially defensively, but Kemba Walker's been on a tear. The Celtics have been better since Al Horford returned. It seems like he'll be back. He was away from the team for the birth of his child, but hey, good news, Pistons. He'll be back for Detroit, it seems. And then the Hawks just went toe-to-toe with the Warriors, who are probably playing the best basketball in the NBA. Then again, we did just say the Clippers were playing the best basketball in the NBA, and the Pistons beat them themselves. But the Hawks have been very good with Dwight Howard. So this is a big week. This is a tough stretch. And then the first game comes tonight against Charlotte. Doug Branson of Locked On Hornets and I exchanged clips talking about this game, talking about these teams. So I want to play both of those for you. First up, this is what Doug had to say from a Hornets point of view about what to expect for Pistons Hornets tonight.
The Hornets are coming into Tuesday back on track after a series of tough and very public losses over the Thanksgiving holiday. They have backup shooting guard Jeremy Lamb's offense and rebounding to thank for their current two-game winning streak. After putting up 18 points and 17 rebounds against the Knicks in a win on Saturday, he followed it up last night with 21 points, 9 rebounds off the bench. Jeremy Lamb is back in the rotation fully after missing several weeks due to a hamstring issue. He's full of energy in a time when the Hornets are in the most brutal stretch of their schedule, so he's definitely a player to watch off the bench. A player that everyone is watching and calling a potential first-time All-Star is Kemba Walker. He's averaging 24 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal and a half a game with a shooting splits of 47%, 42.6%, and 80% from the line. He's taken his game to a completely new level. He's hitting his three-pointers even more efficiently than he did last season when he really made those improvements to his long ball. He's also finishing at the rim with ease, a beautiful scoop layup that he's almost perfected, and he's even improved his pick-and-roll defense, helping Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Cody Zeller to establish a tough, responsive, fast defensive identity for these Hornets, who now rank fifth overall in defensive rating, despite giving up a league lead in three-point attempts. On offense, the Hornets are always looking to attack off the dribble and finish first, kick out later. They have plenty of guys that can do that in Kemba Walker, MKG, Nick Batum, Jeremy Lamb, and even Frank Kaminsky, who will be filling in at starting power forward for the injured Marvin Williams. The Hornets' foundation is built on defensive rebounding and low turnovers, also sharing the basketball. If you can get them to play one-on-one offense, keep them off the boards, and also turn them over, then you have a really good shot at beating this Hornets team. Should be a fun one in Charlotte, watching two old colleagues in Steve Clifford and Stan Van Gundy go at it once again. From Charlotte, Doug Branson, Locked On Hornets.
Thanks, Doug. And here's what I think about the game tonight. The Hornets are catching the Pistons in the right place on the road. Detroit is 7-2 at home and 1-8 away. It's a real big, drastic split. I'm not sure if there's a reason for it. It might just be self-perpetuating. It might be something else. Whatever it is, the difference of the Pistons at home and the road has been immense. They're much better shooting at home, and they're much better defending at home. They defend with a lot more energy, and their outside shots fall. We'll see whether that's just a blip, a small sample, or whether there's something to it, but that certainly plays into Charlotte's favor. So does the fact that Reggie Jackson is still out. The Pistons point guard has missed the full season so far. He's expected back sometime soon, but it really seems unlikely he'll be back this quick, or even with a couple games of this. So there is a little buffer there. And so the Pistons are disadvantaged there in this Ish Smith, Kemba Walker matchup. One thing the Pistons like to do to slow opposing point guards is shift Kentavious Caldwell-Pope onto them to guard them. The problem is that the Hornets present a tough matchup with Nicholas Batum at shooting guard. He's probably too big for Ish Smith to switch onto him. And so if the Pistons try that, I think Batum would have a lot of success taking Ish Smith into the post, either posting him up or passing out of it. So I think the Hornets will get a lot of possessions with Ish Smith guarding Kemba Walker. That obviously plays into Charlotte's favor. The Pistons will have to make their open three-pointers. I think their offense will still produce enough where if they're hitting in a way they haven't hit from the outside this season, that'll work. And if not, it's going to be tough. The Hornets are a very good defensive rebounding team. The Pistons have higher potential to offensive rebound than they have. And this will be the time to step up because that might be what it takes to make the difference and get Detroit a win. The Pistons definitely need to figure something out. The quality of teams, I think the Hornets have been better. The matchup, I think, favors the Hornets too. So the onus is on the Pistons to find something that works. Another note, looking way forward, the big injury news in the NBA today, Mike Conley is going to be out at least 6 weeks after, basically it sounds like he broke his spine. Real serious sounding injury. Don't want to take delight in another team's injury, a player's injury, but the silver lining for the Pistons, Detroit is scheduled to play Memphis once within that 6 week period. So the Pistons will be one of the fortunate teams to face the Grizzlies without Mike Conley. Memphis has been awful when he sits. It has been only marginally better with Mark Gasol on the court. Obviously, those two play a lot together, so the numbers are going to be down when Conley sits regardless. But in those few minutes, this is a small sample, they have not been very good without Gasol or without Conley with Gasol in. So that bodes well for the Pistons. The Grizzlies are stuck relying on a couple rookie point guards, Wade Baldwin, who I really wanted Detroit to draft for whatever that's worth, and Andrew Harrison. So it's going to be tough for the Grizzlies, and the Pistons are fortunate enough to have one game against them during this stretch. And lastly today, Russell Westbrook is now averaging a triple-double. He's the first player since Oscar Robertson to be averaging a triple-double this late into a season. Oscar Robertson, of course, is the only player in NBA history to average a triple-double for a full season. And this is even more remarkable for Russell Westbrook because the pace of the game has slowed down so much from Oscar Robertson's days. Fewer possessions means fewer opportunities to score, fewer opportunities to grab rebounds, fewer opportunities to assist shots. It's a completely different slowed down game. And then the other thing is teams shoot more efficiently now. Players' skills have evolved over time, and so that can mean fewer rebounds to go around, although the rise in three-point shooting has negated some of that. Teams are willing to take more shots from beyond the arc, which result in more misses because there's the higher upside in those more points you get from beyond the arc. Obviously, a rebound of a three-pointer is worth one rebound. The rebound of a two-pointer is worth one rebound. So here's why I'm bringing this up, bringing it back to the Pistons. The Thunder just played the Pistons a couple times already now, and you can watch these games, especially the one in Detroit, Russell Westbrook hunts triple doubles. You could see when it got into the fourth quarter and the Pistons were up and it seemed like the game was in doubt, he was, I think, about four assists away from a triple double. And his teammates know this. Everybody's in on this. They shoot when he passes them the ball. He's less aggressive with the ball. He's looking for his pass. And that's what he does. He's not all about whatever the winning play is. And I'm not even saying correctly determining what the winning play is, because different players can have their own ideas about when to be aggressive, what's the right way to approach it, the right way to play. I'm not even dinging him for that. I'm just saying whatever he thinks the winning play is, whatever he thinks gives his team the best chance of in that situation coming back, or maybe in a different situation preserving its lead, that's not the play he's looking to make. He is looking to make the play that is going to get him a triple-double. And in those moments, that's where his focus is. That's not to say he doesn't care about winning. Winning, of course, is still important to him. And you can see it. Again, I'm going to go back to that Pistons game in Detroit. The Thunder made some shots. The Pistons led up. It seemed like the Thunder were getting back into the game. Their odds of winning were still low. Westbrook was still a couple assists short of a triple-double. And he kind of got back into the flow of the game. He said, you know, he started shooting more because that was the best play for winning. His attitude changed, his approach changed, and that was good. But who knows where the Thunder might have been if he didn't take those few minutes to chase that triple-double in a very, if you're watching the game, as I'm sure a lot of you were, in a very painfully obvious way where that becomes his target. So yeah, he fell short in that game. They lost. And so that allows people to say, well, the Thunder's record is so much better when he has a triple-double. Well, he chases in some games, he doesn't get it. The Pistons have had an opportunity to see that firsthand, and that contributes to him averaging a triple-double now. I wonder what this is going to look like going forward. Obviously, the Pistons are done with the Thunder. You play Western Conference teams only twice in a season. The Pistons have both of those matchups out of the way. But just as general NBA fans, I'm sure some of you will have an eye on this. Is he going to be chasing stats now to keep his average up? Because in the past, okay, if you had 6 assists and it was late, too late to add 4 more, okay, you're not going to be chasing a triple-double that game. But if you care about averaging a triple-double, if there are opportunities, if you know that your assist average is only barely over 10, you might care about having 8 assists instead of 6. So you have a little bit more cushion in the next game that you don't have to go as far in the next game to keep that average up. So it'll be interesting to see this, and I do think a lot of Pistons fans recognize this as these games against Detroit were going, where Westbrook's mindset is. I think the rest of the league will catch up. Right now, everybody is busy celebrating Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double, which is an incredible feat. Most of those stats are accumulated in the process of doing helpful things for his team, but certainly not all of them. And I think the rest of the league will catch up to figure out where that balance is and maybe find a more appropriate way of crediting him in a way that I think a lot of Pistons fans who watched him against Detroit are already ahead of the game on. I want to keep all of the Pistons fans ahead of everything going on with the team. That's why we're going to be here Monday through Friday throughout the season. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.